All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting, special town council meeting, that is, for Friday, March 20th, 2020. Ms. Hoffman, will you please call roll?
Mayor Dewey.
Here.
Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Councilmember Holka.
Here.
Councilmember Devlin.
Here.
And Councilmember Good.
Here.
Okay, the city attorney, Scott Owens, joins us via speakerphone, so he is on the phone for council. And we have the live stream live as well. You're here tonight to consider just one item of business. Before we do that, we'll open the floor for public comment from citizens on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Is there any public comment not on tonight's agenda? Okay. We'll move on to new business. One item of business tonight, discussion decision on Ordinance 166, an emergency ordinance of the Town Council of the Town of Stevensville enacting measures to reduce the spread of the 2019 novel coronavirus known as COVID-19, providing for the continuity of town business and waiving a second reading. The ordinance is in your packet before you tonight. It is modeled off of other ordinances that have been passed across the state. It allows the town to proceed with a continuity plan, ensuring that services continue to be delivered throughout the pandemic. It also suspends council meetings and other public gatherings, committee meetings of the like, through April 30th. It also closes the town hall through April 30th with a week-by-week basis extension if it's needed, declared by the mayor. The ordinance also allows the town to waive late fees and not shut off services for delinquent water accounts through April 30th. And we can extend those waivers on a week-by-week basis beginning April 30th as well. In keeping with the theme of continuity of services and making sure our folks are taken care of, it also approves emergency leave to an equivalent of 2 weeks should someone come in contact with the virus. And that's prorated for part-time employees. It's not accrued and it's not payable by termination. It allows the office to continue with payment of claims, similar to what we do for Thanksgiving and Christmas, where we're on vacation. In this instance, council will see the claims ratified following their payment, and that will allow us to make sure our vendors get the money they need for delivering the services they have. This ordinance takes effect immediately upon adoption of the council. I have not yet declared a state of emergency. I've waited to allow the council to be part of the way that the town proceeds. So this ordinance solidifies that on the council's behalf. Once the council's adopted an ordinance or emergency ordinance outlining how the administration proceeds, then we'll evaluate from there an emergency declaration and the contents that will be contained therein. Council.
Make a motion to open this ordinance for adoption.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Devlin, to open the ordinance for adoption.
The only issues that I have, Mr. Mayor, right now is the length of it to April 30th. I think we should kind of adhere to kind of like what the governor's doing, but just extend it by a couple of days till 11:59 p.m. on March 31st, and then we can reevaluate.
Okay.
And then the other issue is we can still hold electronic meetings and whatnot in order to take care of claims and everything like that. And everyone here is able to be reached by email, telephone, Zoom, Skype, what have you.
So two things. The governor has set the expiration of the orders that he has given out to the 27th. He clarified today in a press conference that it's likely those will be extended, given that that's only 7 days away, and things are not, the timeline for this pandemic is not as rigid as we would like it to be. So we gave ourselves a buffer. Now, obviously, if things calm down before the 30th of April, we're not going to run this out to that date. This just allows us that flexibility should it be needed. What I'm trying to do by lengthening the timeline of this is to reduce the frequency of times that everybody's getting together and interacting, to limit our exposure with each other. It's just a, more or less a safety precaution. With that, there has been some guidance from some city attorneys. In fact, Mr. Owens has had the opportunity to speak or see emails from most city attorneys across the state. There are, in terms of public meeting laws, the council cannot meet necessarily via speakerphone. Video is okay. However, we are challenged a little bit in our ability to accommodate that on a frequent basis with the infrastructure we have. Internet speed here at this building is better. We're not sure, hopefully, that would sustain, but most of our bandwidth is used by live streaming. And so if we're also video teleconferencing from this building, that may pose challenges. It's not to say it can't be done, but that was really the goal. And we've done this practice of ratifying the claims after the fact before. This is obviously a longer process, and you know, we are happy to send when the claims are processed on the basis that the checks are cut. We can send those reports to council as they happen, but the ratification of those claims wouldn't occur until you reconvene under normal operations. And that was our intent. So as soon as a batch of checks goes out, Robert will send you the report of here's what claims were paid, and then that report will end up being ratified the next time you're convened for regular operations. And we anticipate at this time only necessary expenditures at this time. We don't see any reason to go out and spend the budget frivolously. We're paring things down anyway. We expect expenses will decrease slightly. So hopefully that addresses some of your concerns with payment of claims. Mr. Michelson.
According to 7-6-4301, presentation of claims against municipality, all accounts and demands against the city or town must be presented to the council in itemized format. These claims must be presented with all necessary and proper vouchers within 1 year. Payment of claims against the city or town may be authorized by the council when it pays on claims issued to the city or town to pay has attested in the claim to the accuracy to the pay has not received the claimed amount or the pay has provided the city or town an invoice or documentation. All bills, claims, accounts, or charges for materials of any kind purchased by on behalf of the city or town must be reviewed by the city or town finance director and must be submitted before the council for approval. There's nothing in here that says that the council waived the authority to you to pay the checks before. So I think you'd be breaking state law if you kept running.
I
have the floor, sir. I'd have to say that there's got to be a way we can get on speakerphone to do this, or we could call a special meeting and just have us here at 6 foot space to review the claims, pay them, and get out of here. But I don't think we can give you guys authority to pay the claims without our approval.
You do it a couple of times a year.
That's going to change.
But with that couple times a year, we have authorized it, and I've always said that I've made it clear that I did not like that you bring the claims to us after the fact to approve them, because then you're pretty much standard to pay for them anyway. But I just don't like having them come after the fact. I would prefer that we, and I made that suggestion when we were talking about this to begin with.
Right.
You know, send it by email. Let us look at it, and I mean, we don't even have to have a forum. Just everybody. Send you an email
but that effectively is a public meeting, and that's what we're running up against. That's just a hub and spoke is all it is. Is I'm serving as the hub, and you're all conducting a public meeting through me, or the finance director. Ms. Devlin?
So if we get together, the four of us, we still have to open it to the public.
It will be a meeting identical to tonight.
Right. If we meet via video, mm-hmm. we still have to open it to the public.
Correct.
If we meet, which you're saying we cannot meet speakerphone-wise.
Correct. This is uncharted waters for a number of all 126 cities across the state. We're not sure how public meetings work when these types of things happen. The guidance we can rely on from other cities' attorneys is erring on the side of caution to say speakerphone is not a good idea because there's specific language on observing a public meeting. You can observe a public meeting through video. Mm-hmm. You can't observe a public meeting through the speakerphone.
Correct.
And our phone infrastructure doesn't allow for multiple dial-ins for people to call in.
Right. So regardless, we're pinned in a corner. Unless you're asking us for grace.
Correct. We're asking you for grace.
That you're going to make the right decision in paying just bare minimum bills.
Correct.
For a period of time that we will review. When are we reviewing them?
We have two options. It's the administration's intent to, as soon as those checks are run, to give the council a report of here's the checks that went out today, for example. And we would continue the same biweekly basis that we've been doing for the most part. So here are the checks that went out. Here's a report of those checks. That same report will come before council when you resume regular meetings to say here are the checks that you're voting then to say, yes, these are okay. I think that it's important to remember whether the claim is paid before or after you approve it, essentially, it's still an obligation of the town. We're still obligated to pay for it. So that's an important piece, I think, that council has to remember. It's not a maneuver or a way to circumvent council's authority by any means. You're temporarily blessing us to pay the check, cut the checks to the vendors so that business can continue. One of our concerns is that if we reach the level where, for example, the office staff is quarantined, that will mean that the mailbox is not checked literally for 2 weeks. There will be no one to go get the mail. That will mean that utility bills don't go out, and in-person payments through Dropbox or through mail will not be processed. Those will just sit. Electronic payments can still be processed, but anything physical that has to run through this office won't happen. So if Robert is quarantined, or anyone else in the office is quarantined, if Robert gets quarantined, everybody in the office gets quarantined. It's that simple. So for 14 days, we're not going to see any mail come in to the office, which will, in fact, require Robert to do some catch-up work. It'll also mean that anything we haven't paid yet will sit there. And that's part of our concern, is if somebody gets infected in the organization, it's going to wipe us out because we're all in contact with each other. We're trying to limit that for contingency, but with an organization of 12 people, that's really hard to do. And so that's why we're asking for the measures we are to plan ahead for the worst case scenario. We understand, and it would be ideal to have council meetings, but just the logistics of tonight's meeting has been challenging for the resources we have available. And keeping safe distances from folks and limiting the amount of gathering here just tonight alone has been a challenge. And so I think that it's going to continue to be increasingly difficult should we continue to have council meetings.
Okay, so you had said, I believe in your email, that you got this information from other towns. This
Correct.
Is what they have implemented.
Correct.
So how does it speak to, are we just getting a grace that we don't have to follow the law of how does that play so that we're covered?
Scott, can you speak to the MCA issue that Mr. Michelson brought up?
So which part do you want me to talk to? Because I think I kind of hear two issues here. I've got a question about public meeting laws and then whether or not you can ratify bills.
Let's speak to the ratification of bills after the fact first.
Okay, well, so what the council's role in there is to verify, I think you've already stated it, I would just be echoing you on this. If it's in the budget, it's normal day-to-day operating expenses. You're ratifying those bills. As I understand what we've talked about, there's just going to be nothing new that's not budgeted for in this next 30 days or so. So there's no issue so long as it's approved in that resolution. Now you're consenting to continuing to make payments on a budget item that's already been consented to. So that's one piece. Talking about public meeting laws, that's the second question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in addressing public meeting laws, this has been it's been a really big issue because everybody is dealing with this. But so long as, I think Stevensville is ahead of a lot of the cities in the fact that we Facebook Live the council meetings. So long as there's a forum that the public can make comment, which is allowed, this can happen through Facebook, and you could even open up telephones if you wanted to go that far, limited council meetings where somebody could call in and make a comment. I think Facebook Live provides opportunity to do that as well. But I think we're in conformance with public meeting laws. And that's what a lot of towns are doing. A lot of towns right now, just through a number of input from various cities across Montana, they're using GoMeeting as a way to do that. Frankly, Facebook Live reaches out even further than GoMeeting. I think it would be even more complicated to get the public to provide input on. I don't know. I haven't been onto that platform, but it certainly would be more cumbersome for the staff to facilitate a new platform over this next month. So I hope that it addresses the questions about both of them, or is there anything further?
So we would still be in compliance?
Would still be in compliance with exactly what the town is doing right now.
I think this is a time when we kind of need to just come together and find a solution and all of us work together. It's a little bit scary out there for a lot of people. And what's the best, most realistic, rational solution to a problem that we don't know what's going to happen to, right? This is a great time for us to join together and make everyone's life easier, however we can do that.
The ordinance accommodates the uncertainty of the situation, and which is, I think, what you're speaking to, Ms. Devlin, is that we as the administration aren't certain about what the future brings. We don't know what's going to happen on Monday or on the 27th, and that's unnerving a little bit. And so we're trying to put as much in place ahead of time for us, so that, assuming that the worst-case scenario does come to fruition, we have a way forward, and that the council's been part of that direction. We hear from council in the several different emergencies, if you will, that the town's been through over the last couple of years, that the council really wants some ownership in how the town proceeds through these types of matters, and that's what led to this ordinance specifically, was to give you that buy-in and to grant the administration authority to take certain measures to keep everything flowing. There are a number of local vendors who are going to rely heavily on the town paying its bills in a timely manner, and we want to ensure that we can help them however we can, and this is a step in that direction. And like I said, we will continue to keep council informed, as we have over the past week, as to what's going on and what developments are occurring as they occur. So, it's not a matter of keeping you in the dark. It's a matter of more or less keeping us all safe and ensuring that we limit our contact with each other when it's not necessarily warranted or doesn't need to happen. And because payment of the bills is not a critical function of what the council does. I mean, it's not do or die, but it is important for the town to get those checks out. And so, I mean, the claims is not, I guess what I'm trying to say is the claims are not the most important decision that the council will make. And it's certainly important to the oversight of the organization, and that's what we're promising going forward, that you will have a chance to ratify those claims, you know, once everything's concluded. Robert?
One of the things about the claims, you have the claims for this month, so they're already out. The claims come, I think, probably should be Wednesday. So you would have been approving a month on the 26th and that payment on the 27th. The next one would be
April 9th.
April 9th would have been the next group of claims, which was looking pretty slim because the way the month falls, most of, I have to have them all done at the first part at the end of this month, which they don't come in until the beginning of the month, so the next meeting of time would be the second meeting of the month. And I plan on staying on the same cycle, so they'll be done a week early before they're even paid, because if you get out of cycle, it causes more problems for me. So I should have the claims available a week before, which I can email you, and if you have a question, you know, you can talk about it, and you got a week. But the way I see it right now, even trying to call on some of the vendors we're dealing with right now, a lot of them are shutting down. So I don't know how we're going to get some of them. Black Mountain, they've shut down. So they are working from home, so you have to call them, they call you back. And so I suspect some of the other businesses around town, it's going to be a little difficult to
accommodations.
Yeah, and the ones, and there's nothing in the pipeline to buy anything, but just pay the whole, you know, the electricity and the bills that we already have, which is basically pretty sparing.
And in fact, those bills will probably be reduced just because of the lack of activity here.
Yeah, oh yeah, probably.
Mr. Michelson.
I just don't feel too comfortable that the council should give the authority a whole month of claims without even and coming after the fact, like Robin said, and paying for them. I know this is a difficult time for everybody. It's uncharted waters. There's got to be another way. We had talked about it last week. Mayor, you had talked about teleconferencing or another way to do this. I think there's got to be another way other than just redoing it. Also, I had a question about this ordinance as a whole. We've got the governor's declared an emergency. The Valley County just declared an emergency today, and now you want to do an ordinance. I would think it'd be better if we just kept everything a little simple instead of, I mean, there's going to be so many different areas we're going to go into, we don't even know what we're supposed to follow. We have a pandemic disaster plan, too, that's going to go into effect with Valley County. I mean,
would you rather I just declare an emergency and go about business the way I see fit?
I don't think you can do what you have to do, Brandon.
Well, I mean, that's why we're here tonight is because this ordinance outlines how the administration proceeds. You can, I mean, there are lots of ways to get the business done. A number of cities have just let their mayors declare emergencies. A number of cities have passed resolutions, and a number of them have passed ordinances. I've brought this ordinance seemed to be the best fitting for this organization and the way we operate, and so I brought it forward for your consideration tonight. And so I guess I'm missing your point to where the inconsistency lies. While, yes, the governor has declared an emergency and Ravalli County have declared an emergency, that doesn't dictate how the town of Stevensville moves forward in providing its services and whether or not we hold meetings. That's your job to do as the council.
That's right.
Unless you want me to do it through an emergency declaration.
I don't think you can pay the bills on your own if you declare an emergency.
Well, it does allow us, under emergency circumstances, it does allow us to incur expenses and to make certain purchases if we need to under emergency circumstances.
Show me where that's at.
I'm not going to do that because we have, Mr. Michelson, I think...
That's not in there.
What I'm after here tonight is to let you be part of the solution that takes this community forward into this crisis. That's what I'm here for tonight. So for the love of the community, put your hatchet down and your vendetta against me to the side temporarily so that we can get business done for the town. That's what I'm asking you to do.
And I'm asking you to behave too. I'm asking you that there's not a lot of trust around this table right now after the contract fiasco, Brandon. After the contract wasn't approved, after the last meeting that went down, you sit here and you want us to give you the authority to approve claims after that?
Ms. Devlin.
I can't do that.
Right now is not a time to be doing this. This is absolutely not an appropriate time for this. We speak of trust. Now is a really great time to build trust. We need to come together and stop it right now. This is ridiculous. We're not children. We are adults that are in charge of the town of Stevensville. So let's act like that and come together and figure it out. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. We have to get along for our community members that are out there that are relying on us to do so. It's not about trust or not trust, or let's figure it out. You're asking to be able to pay some claims. I say pay the claims. What a great way for you to rebuild trust, if trust with some people has been broken. If you don't pay them according to the way that you should, there's consequences to the actions. It's that simple. We don't have to fight about it, and it's getting ridiculous.
I mean, and something, going back to something that I stated last week, if he does pay a claim, that isn't legal or whatever, he is still financially liable for that. So, I mean, the thing is, it says in here that he would pay him. It says that we still have to approve him after the fact, but...
Ms. Holcomb, excuse me. I wasn't sure he was done.
I'm just not comfortable with extending all the way out to April 30th. I understand Mr. Bullock said that it was more than likely going to be extended. However, we don't know what he's going to do. And I know you said that if he doesn't extend it, we'll pull back. But
Ms. Holcomb.
I agree with the April 30th. I think that's too far out. Most places are, I mean, even polls yesterday said that they're closing only to March 31st. So most places are closed. Even the school said April 6th. I mean, they may close for the rest of the year. That's what I've been hearing. But still, I think April 30th is too far out. I'm okay with paying the employees because, you know, that's basically what a lot of people are doing. Some businesses aren't even paying their employees. They're just letting them go home, collect unemployment. So I'm okay with paying the 2 weeks for the employees, all for that. I think we should do it maybe to April 10th, maybe even April 15th. But I just think April 30th is too far out. I think we should let the Rhode Island Public Health advise if we need to move forward, and then we can reassess then, instead of, you know, doing this, well, I'm going to make all the decisions. Just say, you know, make a comment in here that if Public Health says, hey, we can stop or we need to move forward, then we can come together and reassess then, you know, at April 10th or whatever date you want to do. I think that's a good way of starting to build that trust.
So if we reduce, if we pull back the date to April 15th, that's two cycles of claims rather than three. Is that acceptable? I'll take your silence as consensus.
Yeah, I'll make a secondary motion to edit the ordinance to show April 15th.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Well, like I said, I would like to see, instead of you extending anything, I think we need to put it in here somewhere that we go by what the Rhode Island Public Health advises, and then we come back together and assess if we need to extend it, or we can just say we're done, or...
And we are in constant contact with those folks. They, in fact, were the ones that advised us on the initial measures that we took to say, yes, those, we talked to them, are these measures appropriate? Sunday night, when we decided to shut things down, we said, are these measures appropriate, or are we overreacting, or are we not doing enough? And Ms. Johnson said, no, that your plan, it works. It's good for your community, and that's what you should do. And at that time, schools hadn't even been closed when I spoke to her. So she was hoping that they would be. So, yes, we're constantly communicating with those folks and making sure that the actions we're taking are good for the interests of everyone involved. Okay, Mr. Michelson.
How are you going to manage the staff, Brandon? I mean, are you going to have everybody still fully staffed all the time? I mean, because there's nobody coming in the door. I mean, it's not like you're taking bills. So
currently in the way the situation sits right now, without any cases being found in River Valley County and our exposure being pretty minimal, staff are reporting on their regular shifts. And rather than taking the front counter traffic, they are instead answering phone calls. They still have to process the payment. We receive payments in the Dropbox just as if they were at the counter. And so they're taking the Dropbox payments and they're still taking the mail payments. And so those things, our regular operation is still being fulfilled. Certainly we can't even scale back with water and sewer. In fact, their responsibilities will likely increase as we increase manhole checks and those types of things to prevent backups, given the shortage of toilet paper. So we're concerned about the plant. Those folks are going to stay on their regular shifts. We currently have two employees who have self-quarantined themselves out of an abundance of caution because they don't feel well, or they're not sure that they've come in contact with the virus or not. So we're already down two staff in that regard, one in the building department, one in the police department, and we're not sure when those folks will return to work. It will be some time. So there's not really a lot of room to reduce staffing in the office because they're all helping each other out and making sure the work still gets done, irregardless of the counter traffic. So now, if we do have plans in place for if someone gets sick or someone in the community gets sick, especially, you know, so if the next stage is if someone gets sick in the community, River Valley County or Stevensville, then we're going to have folks work from home remotely as much as possible. We'll only bring in absolutely essential people, and that would, you know, include Robert making sure the checks get out. But a lot of that work can be done at home because we're on the cloud. So he'll just have to come in to do printing. So we have taken certain steps to make sure that if we do remote everybody in and we send everyone home to work from home, we have ability to do some of that. Public Works isn't as flexible in that regard. They still have to come check the plants. The worst case scenario is, and there's very little contingency, as if someone in the office gets sick, we're effectively we're down. There's just nothing we can do. Like I said, electronic payments will still be satisfied. If all law enforcement that we have is quarantined, then we'll request assistance from the governor's office. And if all public works staff are quarantined, we'll again request assistance from the governor's office, which will likely take form of the National Guard. So that's the contingency plan right now. We're hoping we don't get there. But everyone's taking extra precautions. Every time a meeting is held in this facility or a non-routine person comes in, such as court or something like that, we're disinfecting very thoroughly. So even tonight, everything will be disinfected once we leave. Ms. Holcomb.
I do like what you suggested, that the week before you decide to, I would like to see them. Mm-hmm. If we have any questions, then we can ask those questions before they are even signed.
That's the best way to keep the routine going. Is, I realize if you miss the routine up here, you'll have some problems. So, yeah, I would keep on that same routine as we got right now. Mm-hmm. So,
Because I understand we got to keep the town going. I mean, I understand that completely. But like I said, I just think April 30th is way too far out there. And I think some of the wordage could be cleaned up, but
okay.
I don't know any other way that we can.
So at this time, we have a motion on the floor to make the end date effectively April 15th, 2020. Any further discussion on that specific piece of the ordinance? April 15th. Any public comment to April 15th being the ending date? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Okay, April 15th is in the ordinance. If I understand your motion correctly, you're looking to approve the ordinance?
But it was also to bring it out for discussion and changes as needed.
Sure, absolutely. So right now, then, the primary motion is approval. Further council discussion? Public comments? Mr. Cruz.
Ken Cruz, 316 High Street, Stephenville, Montana. I got a couple of comments to throw out, one of which is who wrote this ordinance? Because the town attorney doesn't look like he wrote it. And if the town attorney is going to give opinions on things, you have to put them in writing so the public can read them. I haven't seen any of those things. As far as the duties of the attorney, said when required, draft of the city, contracts, ordinances for the government of the city. Okay. That's 7-6-4604. Subsection 3. Okay. The town of Stephenville is subservient to the Valley County Comprehensive Emergency Operations Guidelines. As an emergency clerk, we should be following page 114 of that guideline. Okay, that's our emergency plan. Town of Stephenville does not have an emergency plan. I was on council, I tried to get an emergency plan put together, couldn't get any support from anybody. The Valley County Comprehensive Emergency Operational Guideline is our plan, and that's what we are committed to follow. We signed off on it. Lou Barnett was mayor, we signed off on it in 2010. I don't see a copy of that laying around in here.
It's in the spanner.
Okay, I got a copy here. Okay. So that's what we should be following. Okay. There's also a pre-disaster mitigation plan, which Councilmember Michelson and I worked on for close to a year to get that thing out with everybody else down in Valley County. I don't personally see a reason for a temporary ordinance because you should be operating under the emergency plan. The powers and duties of the mayor related to administration executive function, I couldn't find anywhere where it said a mayor can declare an emergency. What I did find was 754102 subsection B said recommend to the council measures connected with the public health, cleanliness, and order of the city or town, and the improvement of the government and finances that may consider expedient. Under Section H, perform other duties that may be prescribed by law or by resolution or ordinance of the council. So if you give the mayor authority to close down hall contrary to what state law says, I think you're violating the law because you don't have the authority to delegate that authority. The mayor has specific rules that he has to follow, specific duties and powers, and the council does too, and these are signed by the state legislature. And I don't think you can override the state legislature. 754204 details relating to emergency measures. In the case of emergency measures, the emergency must be expressed in the preamble on the body of the measure, and the measure must receive two-thirds vote of the members elected. In emergency ordinances, the resolution shall include only such measures as are immediately necessary for the preservation of peace, health, safety, and shall not include finance, license to a corporation or individual, any provision of sale of real estate, any lease or letting of any property for a period exceeding 1 year, the purchase or sale of personal property exceeding $5,000. So, office hours 74102, unless otherwise provided by law, each officer shall keep the office's the officer's office open for the transaction of business during the office hour determined by the governing body by resolution after a public hearing and only if consented to by affected elected county officer each day except Saturday and legal holidays. So, only council report I can see shut down town hall. 764301, Councilmember Michael's already discussed, by state law, you have to present the claims before they're paid. And I know that for years and years and years, we just think, Christmas and Thanksgiving, we'll let you pay the claims and, you know, out of cycle and all that stuff. Come to find out, here we're reading this law, and it's not legal. So I have a significant concern about that. I will not relinquish any control regarding payment of any claims. There's no requirement that I'm aware of that would require council to hold more than one council meeting per month for payment of claims. And I urge the council to vote no on the emergency ordinance. You don't need it. You've got an emergency operational guideline that you should be following. And you should be consulting with the county emergency planning office, Eric Cooper, and the folks down there, and the county health officer, who is in charge of this incident. This is bigger than what Little Stephenville should be messing with. Those are my comments. I agree.
Any further public comment? Ms. Barker.
Susie Barker, 104 Winslet, Stephenville. How many claims do you pay, like on an automatic payment system? I know you just stated that nobody's going to the post office. It could be 10, 12, 14 days before you go. You're not sending anybody out. Those bills will be there. Northwestern Energy had stated that they're not shutting anybody off or anything. So people know that we're in this situation. Yes, the bills do have to be paid, but it's not going anywhere. They'll be there when we come back.
Further public comment? Ms. Holcomb.
So did we follow this emergency operations guideline?
Yes, we reviewed it today, as a matter of fact, and it does very little. We go to the blue tab, H114. It does very little to guide how long do we not do council meetings. It doesn't do anything like that. It talks about procedures within the county's emergency operations center. And also to note, it does not circumvent any of Stephenville's policies. It says right on the third or fourth page that if a policy in a local government does not exist, that you can refer to the plan or the guideline. But if a policy or a procedure exists within a local government, then use that policy first and use this as a backup. We're adhering to this. It outlines kind of procedurally how the Emergency Operations Center in Hamilton is established and who's in charge of the incident countywide and all of those things. But it doesn't do anything to address how long council meetings are suspended for. Or it does speak to, I think, limiting public gatherings. But it doesn't go into the detail that this ordinance does, which is why 126 other cities and towns in Montana have taken this action, is because those plans don't speak to how an organization internally works. They're very broad because it's a larger umbrella, and they're leaving that decision making up to the governing bodies of these organizations. So yes, we consult with that plan. We keep the binder handy, given whatever emergency arises. But these actions are still necessary for the continuity of business and to making sure things flow smoothly. And it gives the staff here and the administration the confidence to know that, yes, the council blessed this ordinance. We know how to proceed. This is what we're going with. I think it gives us a sense of calm to the community to say, look, City Hall has their poop in a group, and they have a plan going forward. There's no language in here that you're going to find in that book.
Yeah, there's nothing in here that dictates where, how long, how often we should meet or anything.
I mean, it's going to, yeah, it's right. going to define what the pandemic is.
Yeah, and that's really all that does.
Ms. Devlin?
I'd like to reference Mr. Owens on the phone, who is actually qualified to speak to the legality aspects of the things that we're discussing. We can go through and look at, that's why I wanted clarification on what Mr. Michelson was saying, to make sure that we are actually following the law. We just had public comment that threw a lot of legal stuff out there. Scott, we pay you to speak to the legalities of what we're doing. Is this legal?
Ms. Devlin, thank you. I didn't hear most of what the public comment was. I just heard a lot of MCA, and it was something. I think what Mr. Mayor's done here has drafted an emergency plan that is very similar to what some of the other cities are doing. I don't think there's anything illegal about it. From my understanding of the River Valley County plan, they defer to local government to emplace specific controls. So there's unless I'm pointing to something specific, like I said, I didn't hear most of the public comment. I don't think there's anything wrong with the plan that's about to the town may embark on.
Thank you.
Scott, can you just clarify that you reviewed the ordinance before it was sent out in the packet?
I did review it, and I think, and this is the emergency plan. Oh, the resolution or the
ordinance? Excuse me, the ordinance. Correct, the ordinance.
Okay.
Ordinance.
Yeah, I have reviewed it. Like I said, it's up to council to consent to this, and I don't, unless I'm pointed to something specific that there's an issue with, I don't think there's anything illegal about it.
Thank you.
Anything else from everybody?
There's just one piece of verbiage on here. I don't know if there needs to be a motion to fix it or whatnot, but it says closing town hall starting March 16th.
We did that just because that ratified the date that we in fact did close town hall.
Okay.
So it is a yes, you're correct. It is a retroactive date, but we wanted to document that that's when it started, because this document will live forever in the book. And so we wanted, you know, if somebody ever wanted to go back and say, when was the last time the town adopted an emergency ordinance for a pandemic, we can go back to this ordinance and say, oh, well, they closed town hall on March 16th and left it to April 15th. I'm seeing April 30th's all over. Left it to April 15th to address. So
it means in 2120 they'll be ready.
Yeah, I hope so. We won't be around for that. Certainly won't. Are there any other questions or comments from anyone in the room? Are we prepared to vote? Gibson, you ready to vote? Okay. Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb? Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Okay. The ordinance passes with 2/3 majority. With that, there's nothing left but to adjourn. Have a good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. We'll keep in touch.